Today we celebrate by lighting the Advent candle of joy. We would have lit the candle of peace last week, and we'll go through the last Sunday of Advent next Sunday with the candle of love. We're so glad for you to be here. We want to extend a special welcome to those that are visiting us, if either for the first time or for the first time in a long time. We're glad you're here. I want to point out the attendance pads that are in your pews. If you would be so kind as to fill out your name so we can have a record of your attendance, we would certainly appreciate that. And here are a few announcements that we want to make note of for you. This Wednesday is our Advent to Zay service. It's a quiet, contemplative service where we sing songs, have a moment of silence, but this Sunday will be different because we will celebrate Holy Communion. So if you would like to have Holy Communion, please come and be there from 12 to 12:30 this Wednesday. Make note that next week, because the choir has had an additional week to practice their amazing cantata. We're so thrilled to hear the fabulous music, the fabulous instruments, and hope that you will be here for either the 8:30 service next week or the 10:45 service. Also, remember that next week we'll have our reception for Anita Curtis, who has given 27 years of service to Asbury as church administrator. We are very, very honored to bless her as she enters retirement, and we will not have Sunday school. So make sure to be there to send your regards to Anita. And also remember that next week is a really busy Sunday. We have cookies and milk, and I believe St. Nicholas will be making an appearance there, and that's at 9:45 in the warehouse. There will also be stone soup at 1:30. It's at Quapaw United Methodist Church, Quapaw Quarter United Methodist Church in downtown. And the United Methodist Women Christmas Tea will be next week at 2 p.m. With that being said, I would like to just let us rise and greet one another in the name of Christ. Please stand for the call to worship. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. Janet and James Berkeley, who will be lighting our Advent candle.
Parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. Isaiah 35, 1 and 2.
We light this candle as a symbol of Christ, who calls us to rejoice in God's goodness. For Jesus taught us to remain in the love of God, that his joy might be in us, and that our joy might be complete. Please join us in the congregational prayer response. Almighty Father, you
thank you for the gift of joy,
which enters our hearts from the gift of your love. May your Holy Spirit stir in our lives the possibilities to experience the joy of life as we come to know better your Son, Jesus Christ, and share his joy with others. In his holy name.
I'd like to now invite the children to come forward for our children's time. All the children. Question. Who do you think this is?
Joseph.
Joseph. Okay, good. Who do you think Mary? Oh, quick. Who do you think this is? Jesus. But not just any Jesus. It's baby Jesus. That's right. What do you think was going through Mary and Joseph's minds when they were holding this little boy?
Happiness.
Okay. What do you think your parents were feeling when they held you as a little baby?
Happiness.
Okay. Love. Right. That's very good. Yeah. Well, there's another word that has become dear to my heart, and it's called joy. And I think joy is so much more than happiness. Because it seems like happiness, you know, you can be happy about getting a toy. You can be happy about having a shower. You can be happy about, you know, random things. But it seems like joy to me is so much more. Have you ever felt like you went and had a moment and you just felt every part of you just bursting? Have you ever had a really big moment where you're just so excited? You're just so hyper? Any moment like that?
You think?
Well, I think that's what Joseph and Mary were thinking when they held this baby Jesus who would come to be the Savior of the world. They had joy, just like your parents had joy when they held you and continue to have for you. So let's go to God in prayer. Y'all can repeat after me. Dear God, we thank you so much for all you do, for all you love, for everything you've done. Please be with our families, our friends, and help us to know your joy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay.
Let us bow our heads in a moment of prayer. Holy One, we are so very grateful to be in your presence. Without you, there would be great pain, darkness, and loneliness. Keep us strong as we navigate through the stress we often face during the holidays. Resurrect within us the joy of Christmas, the joy that negates despair, the joy that casts out fear and anxiety, the joy which rises within us faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. Your joy is found in the faces of newborn babies, the giving of food to those who don't have it, a gift given to a child who wouldn't receive one this year. May we pass that joy to others who are facing feelings of sadness, guilt, unworthiness, or anger. God, we know that only you have the power to bring us out of the muck and the mire of life. Only you can redeem us of our faults, temptations, and sins. Let us reflect this Christmas where true joy comes from, the knowledge that you came to this world in the flesh and are one of us. You know us completely. May we surrender to you so that we may experience the fullness of joyful living found in Christ. Now we pray the prayer our Lord Christ has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This Christmas season, may we, instead of being radical receivers, be radical givers. Stepping out, doing different things that we wouldn't normally do, giving our time, energy, money, and our presence to different things, things where people can be changed by them. You know, this Christmas, in the midst of so many people buying so many things, may we seek to share our gifts with others. And may we share that this day. Let us go to God in prayer as we bless our offering this morning. Lord, how giving you are to us, even when we feel like we are unworthy to receive any more blessings, you pour out even more. Mostly, Lord God, we are thankful for your constant presence and generous love and grace which empowers our lives. In the spirit of Christmas, may we be true givers of your love and compassion. Let us give of ourselves to the work of ministry through Asbury. May you bless the missions we do in your great name. Amen.
Christian friends rejoice, I also would like to welcome Victoria Harden, who has been playing the organ for us this morning, hymn number 224.
I invite you to turn in your Bibles with me to the second chapter of Luke 1 through 10. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, with every Christmas card I write, may your days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be white. White Christmas is my all-time favorite secular Christmas song, but Stephen wouldn't let me sing it. Thank you, Tom. Of course, you know, after last weekend, my favorite song may have lost just a tad bit of its luster, but nevertheless, to me, it's just not the Christmas season until I hear White Christmas. White Christmas is the Christmas song of the United States. It was originally recorded by Bing Crosby in 1942. And it became so popular that he had to re-record it in 1947 because the masters had become so worn. Its popularity had a lot to do with the fact that America had just gone to war. Our people found themselves in a confusing and unstable world. Loved ones being shipped off to the battlefront, not knowing if they would ever see their families again. And so this song had a powerful impact on American soldiers. They dreamt of a white Christmas when they could come home again, and when that white Christmas would come, all things merry and bright. For centuries, the Jews had dreamed of their own white Christmas. For centuries, they had been given promises that predicted the coming Messiah. That Messiah would bring salvation to the people, forgiveness for his sins, and light and peace to those who were God's people. The Jews were looking forward to a time when life would be merry and bright again. Over the centuries, as the Jews watched for this Messiah, they waited and they waited and waited. They waited so long they actually began to wonder if he was ever going to come. They became a people so filled with despair that they were literally living in darkness and in the shadow of death. There's an old hymn that describes that despair that filled Israel. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lowly exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Possibly the best known and most beloved passage of Scripture is that which I just read to you. This account of the birth of Jesus. The promised Messiah had come, fulfilling the Scriptures, the prophecy. The Messiah they had waited for has been born. He has come. The angels proclaimed it to the shepherds. Remember the words? Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. If there's a single word that describes what Christmas is all about, it's the little word joy. Several of our favorite Christmas carols mention it. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? Good Christian men, rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Joyful all ye nations, rise. Join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. But I wonder how many of us feel joyful this morning. You know, it's not hard to feel joy when you come to church and you sing these wonderful songs. But it's not always easy to feel joyful. Part of the problem is, I think we have the wrong concept, the wrong idea about joy. We tend to connect it with happiness and think that joy depends on our circumstances. You can't have joy by going from one party to another or frantically racing through the shopping mall. In fact, going to the mall this time of year is kind of really an excellent way to lose the Christmas spirit and joy. As Ellen Clark Griswold's wife said in Christmas Vacation, I don't know what to say except it's Christmas and we're all in a season of misery. Many are so busy with the details of celebrating Christmas, of getting the right decoration on the door, the right garland hung around the columns, the right lights up, the right image, that they miss Christ Himself. A woman spent the day, she was frantically finishing her shopping, and she was in a large downtown department store. She'd finally finished and she was impatiently waiting for the elevator. Her arms were full of bulky bags. She was tired, irritable. The high-heeled shoes were hurting. The elevator door opened and it was full. But the occupants, they kind of mumbled and squeezed together to make room for one more. And as the doors closed, she said, "Whoever is responsible for this whole Christmas thing ought to be tarred and feathered, strung up, and shot." The other folks in the elevator, some of them mumbled and grunted in agreement. Until one voice way back in the back of the elevator was heard, "Not to worry, they already crucified him." Are we so busy and distracted and preoccupied that we're missing the point, missing God's amazing gift? The great newspaper publisher of the early 20th century, William Randolph Hearst, was a great patron of the arts and a collector. He wanted everything and spent a fortune getting them. And one day, he found a description of an artwork that he felt that he must own. So he sent his agents around the world looking for it. And after months and months of searching, they returned to him empty-handed. But they discovered something amazing. They got some information on this mysterious piece of artwork. It was actually nearby. It was found in a warehouse owned by William Randolph Hearst. He already owned it, but had failed years earlier to uncrate it. He had been searching for a treasure he already had, and he didn't realize it. Where does Christmas joy come from? And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior was born. He is Christ the Lord." Will Willimon says, and I think he puts this passage in perspective, "Christmas is a delightful disruption of the way things normally go." I like that. I like that phrase. Delightful disruptions, because it catches the spirit of Luke 2. You know, one moment you're out in the field, you're tending your sheep, everything's going pretty cool, you got a fire going, you know, you're talking, telling jokes and stories, and then all of a sudden, you're being scared out of your wits by an angelic choir. And you know, these people weren't rocket scientists. They didn't know what was happening. They were common, everyday people, the lowest rung of society, sitting around a fire and this angelic choir. I don't know how delightful that is, but it's definitely a disruption. The angel comes with good news of great joy that will be for all the people. What is this good news of great joy? Verse 11 has the answer for us. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Key word right there. Savior, which is Christ the Lord. If we're looking for Christmas joy, I think that we can find it in this single verse. The heart of Christmas. God loved us enough to send His only begotten Son. Think of it this way. God didn't send a committee. He didn't write a book. He didn't send a substitute. When God got ready to save the world, He sent the best He had, His one and only Son. And in sending Jesus, He was really sending Himself. And my friends, this is the breathtaking truth of Christmas. Emmanuel, God with us. God with us in the valleys and the mountaintops. God with us in sickness. God with us in health. God with us in good times and in bad times. God is with us in the waiting room of surgery. God is with us waiting for test results. God is with us in surgery. God is with us in the loss of a job. God is with us in the wedding ceremony, and God is with us in the hospice room. God is with us in the birthing room. That's the amazing good news. That is what should bring us joy. Great joy. I'm always amazed at a guy named Paul who said, I rejoice always no matter what happens in my life. I often ask myself, especially when I'm having a pity party, how can he have joy in the midst of persecution and hardship? I believe the reason that he has joy and that he could have joy at all times was because he discovered the one who is able to fill our lives with joy. It's a little baby. It's a beautiful little baby with chubby cheeks and chubby hands and little feet and beautiful eyes. It's a baby. It's Jesus. He came for all of us, not the wealthy, not the poor, but all of us. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Unto you, for me. He came for us. And this is where Christmas becomes intensely personal. The truth is what Christmas is all about. And it's a pinnacle moment in history for every single one of us. The joy of Christmas is found in this baby Jesus. He is the only source that can produce it. He is the only source that can produce lasting joy in our lives. Joy is a choice, and it centers on our willingness to choose to surrender ourselves to Jesus or not. This, my friends, is the great gift exchange program of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Joy is found by looking at the letters in the word joy. Jesus offers you the gift of eternal life, which therefore brings joy to your hearts and lives. Jesus offers you. This is the great exchange program. Jesus freely gives to us, and we in exchange freely give back to Him. In just a few days, Christmas will be here. Families will gather around the tree to open their presents. I would imagine by now that there are some children that are counting the hours until that glad moment arrives. Many of us can't wait to unwrap those gifts that wait under the tree. But I remind myself, and in doing that, I may remind you, that the unwrapping of the most precious gift of all is not just to be unwrapped once on Christmas Day, but it's a gift that is meant to be unwrapped every day for the rest of our lives. That child was born in the manger that day. That child was a gift that was wrapped in swaddling cloths. But as we unwrap that gift, we all can see that it is a gift that is instantly ours when we receive it. It's a gift that takes a lifetime of unwrapping, a gift that was of enormous value. It's a gift that's to be given away, a gift that enriches every life that receives it. May we all, each and every one of us, cherish this gift as we take the time every day to unwrap it in our lives. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we actually started to practice the things that we hear and sing about at Christmas? Wouldn't it be cool? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we would take Christmas with us all the way through the new year? Wouldn't it really be neat if we said every day is Christmas and every day is Christmas at Asbury and we have a great story to tell? And that story to tell is Jesus makes all the difference in the world. Wouldn't it be something if we would take this message of Christmas wherever we went? I know it's not fashionable today. We're being told all the time that you can't mix church and state, that somehow you've got to put your religion in a box and take it out only on Sunday. You're not supposed to pray in school, and you're not supposed to talk about God at work. But you know what? For many of us, that's hard to do. I really believe that if people have been touched by the message of Christmas, that they have to be a Christian everywhere. Rules and regulations may try to restrict us, but we need to take Christ with us wherever we go. Howard Thurman wrote, "When the song of the angels is still, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, the real work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to visit the prisoner, to rebuild the nation." As Chase said this morning, to do things we ordinarily don't do. Radical giving to bring peace among brothers and sisters, to make music in the heart that is the real work of Christmas. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could take Christ into the marketplace and into the workplace, into school, and wherever we might go, and not leave Christ in the manger? Wow, what a difference he could make. The shepherd's response to the angel, as you read on in Luke 2, was, "Let's go and see, let's go and tell, let's go and live." So let's go, and let's go and see. Let's go and tell a hurting world this amazing story. In our words, and in our deeds. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. They couldn't stay in the village or stay close to the manger. They had to go about their work. They didn't go back the same. They went to live in the light of this new reality. When we walk out of the door today, we should not be the same. And Christmas Eve, when the last candle is blown out and the last verse of Silent Night is sung, and we walk out those doors, we need to be different. When we walk out those doors, it's a new reality. It's a gift. A free gift, no strings attached, no fine print. A free gift. For you and for me. The song White Christmas declared that a person's life could be changed by a chance winter storm. The Bible tells us that our lives could only be changed by a deliberate act of God. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Joy to the world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If there are those among you who wish to become a part of this church family, I invite you to come as we sing our hymn of commitment, Joy to the World, 246. Let us be standing as we sing. Thank you for being in worship with us today. Special thanks to Jessica Temple, the choir, and to Ms. Harden for the joy to the world. You have proclaimed the message through your music. So thank you very much for your commitment and your love today. As you leave this place today, remember who you are and whose you are. We received a special gift. We're chosen. Now, let's go see, let's go tell, and let's go live the Christmas message. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.